Research at the National Science Foundation's Amundsen Scott Research Station at the South Pole is dangerous, made more so because if something happens, it's difficult, even impossible, to get out. You may remember Dr. Jerry Lynn Nielsen. In 1999, she had to give herself a biopsy, then treat her own breast cancer for months until the winter weather passed and it was safe for a plane to evacuate her. She died in 2009 from the disease. In 2011, a manager had a stroke but had to stay for 2 months. Well, now another crew member is ill and a dangerous rescue mission is underway. Kelly Faulkner is director of the Division of Polar Programs at the National Science Foundation. For privacy reasons, they're not revealing the crew member or illness, but Kelly, it's got to be serious. You've hired 2 planes to do this rescue. So what kind of planes and how hard is it to get to the South Pole?
At this time of year, it's pretty difficult to get to the South Pole. You've got 24 hours of darkness, and it's extremely cold, and you do have weather systems moving through. So there are only few aircraft in the world that can actually conduct this mission. So we have hired Twin Otter aircraft. They're operated out of Canada, and they've made their way down through South America. In fact, just this morning, early, they took off from Punta Arenas in South America and Chile to go to the British Antarctic Survey Station, Rothera. And from there, one of the planes will go to South Pole to conduct the rescue.
And by the way, from Rothera, it's 1,500 miles to the South Pole. It just reminds us how extraordinarily removed the South Pole is.
Well, you can envision that the area of the Antarctic continent is 1.5 times that of the U.S., and then realize that there are very, very few people on it. Right now, at South Pole Station, there are 48 people in place.
Yeah, and one of them very sick. Now, first of all, these are prop planes. Why 2 of them, and why is 1 standing back?
We always have to build in a contingency. This is sort of building on our own search and rescue capability to have 2 planes go together.
Yeah. And what happens? Like, what's the chain of events when someone gets sick? I mean, as I said, there's privacy issues around this current emergency situation. But what, I mean, you have communication with them. What happens?
Well, first of all, we hope that people don't develop such illnesses. And we actually put them through a pretty rigorous health screening before they go, but you can't predict everything. What we have in place at the South Pole is a small clinic. We do have a physician who is there through the winter as a physician assistant as well. They have the capability of talking to medical expertise stateside here. So for us right now, that's the University of Texas Medical Branch, and they have access to a full staff of all kinds of expertise. So what happens when someone gets sick is they'll go to the clinic and the doctor there will tend to them. And then depending on the situation, we'll consult with other experts and treat to the extent that they are capable of treating there. They get to the point where it's a very serious situation. We will be called in. We have our own chief medical officer on staff who will evaluate the situation with us. And we reconsult, of course, and then we have decisions to make.
Yeah. Like what to do. Well, and we remember when Dr. Nielsen in 2009 had to give herself a biopsy, treat her own breast cancer. She found the lump. You know, you say go to the clinic to be treated by the doctor. She was the doctor. And she had 2-way communication with other doctors who could help her while she treated herself. But just extraordinary what she had to do. And then when a manager suffered a stroke in 2011, there was some criticism of the NSF that she should have been evacuated sooner than the 2 months. So do you worry now that you might be overreacting to this situation and maybe putting the pilots and the sick person who's now going to fly out in jeopardy?
No, I want to say that each case presents its own dynamics. And with respect to this history of this, we've actually had 2 other cases where we've gone in with the Twin Otter to take care of medical situations, one in 2001 and one in 2003. In each case, there are a lot of consultations with medical experts and other experts. So we have to make a decision based on that. And we will. I can't comment any further because each case also has privacy concerns.
Right. Understandable. But it is very dangerous. And these people know this when they go there. What kind of work are they doing?
Well, we support very unique science at the South Pole Station. We have a range of activities going on that include everything from long-term monitoring the atmosphere to state-of-the-art telescopes that are looking at elements of the origin and nature of our universe. We have the world's unique neutrino detector there, and many other activities going on.
Yeah. Well, it's just a reminder, Kelly, that you know, you don't have to go to outer space to have this kind of thrilling work and adventure, but also this kind of challenge, this kind of problem solving. You can do it right here on Earth. Kelly Faulkner, Division Director of Polar Programs at the National Science Foundation. They run the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station and are in the middle of a rescue right now of someone who works there who is seriously ill. Dr. Faulkner, best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for the good wishes.
And if you want to track the planes on their emergency rescue mission, we will link you up at hereandnow.org.
And Robin, I just checked the forecast at the South Pole today. It was a high of negative 53.
Okay.
So if you do the math, that's about 170 degrees colder there than it has been in much of the southwestern United States over the last couple of days.